Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the HDFC Life Quarter One Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amitabh Chaudhry. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ali. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us. We'll be discussing our first quarter financial year 2019 results. Our results, including the investor presentation, press release, and regulatory disclosures, are already available on our and the stock exchange websites. Unless specified, all business numbers quoted by me here are in rupees. I have with me Vibha Padalkar, ED and CFO, and Srinivasan Parthasarathy, the appointed actuary. I'll spend the next few minutes to briefly share our quarter one results, and we'll be happy to take your queries post that. Let's start with the business performance. Despite macroeconomic uncertainties, rising interest rate environment, and volatile markets, like in the past, we continue to deliver an extremely strong performance across key business parameters of growth, profitability, and ROE. While the life insurance market grew by 11% year-on-year in total new business premium in quarter first, 2019, HDFC Life grew by 62% in the same period to secure a 22.3% share of the market. Our total APE grew by 26%, with individual APE growth of 15% and unweighted group premium growth of 79%. Renewal premium delivered growth of 16%. The growth, however, has not come at the cost of profitability as we maintain market-leading new business margins. Our focus on productivity, delivering balanced product mix, and investments in disruptive technology to optimize processes and contain expense ratios has helped us in delivering sustainable margins. This is a continuous, never-ending process for us. Competitive and external factors will exert pressure, but we believe that we have the strategy in place to continue delivering better productivity, identify newer profit pools, and keep reimagining the operating model. Very quickly onto the channel performance. The agency life program, which we had started last year, is beginning to pay dividends as the channel witnessed a 26% year-on-year growth this quarter based on APE. HDFC Life onboarded the highest number of agents in the private sector in quarter one. The direct channel, including online, grew by 55% on the back of focused cross-sell campaigns, augmentation of talent, and process optimization. Degrowth in broker channel was based on conscious decision to focus on business quality, and we have disengaged from some brokers during the first quarter. As you know, HDFC Bank started working in multi-time model last year. Given that we were a monopoly in that franchise, addition of other life insurers meant our shares bound to drop. However, despite entry of other insurers, we have managed to deliver healthy year-on-year growth in the channel. It is pertinent to note that while adding other insurers to the franchise, the intent of the bank is to expand the pie through higher growth and not redistribute the existing pie. This is apparent from quarter first as well, where we have grown our business and new entrants have also made an entry. Our rich legacy of product innovation, customer service, claim settlement, and deep integration of the bank holds us in good stead. This is just quarter one, and we expect growth of this channel to be in line with the industry. We extended our distribution footprint to 163 traditional partners from 149 and 26 non-traditional new ecosystem partners from 22 as on March 31st, 2018. These partnerships provide us extensive and formidable presence, reaching out to our diversified customer categories. They also help us in de-risking our dependence on any single distributor. Amongst these partnerships, approximately one-third of the Credit Protect partnerships are exclusive to HDFC Life. A balanced business mix has been the cornerstone of our strategy, and strong performance delivered by various channels and lines of business augurs well for the company. All our distribution channels continue to be independently profitable with steady post-overrun new business margins. On the product side, the individual AP product mix for the quarter is in line with our long-term desired mix, with ULIP at 54%, PAR at 28%, and non-PAR at 19%. The protection business was 7.8% of our individual AP and 31.6% of our total new business premium collected during the period, versus 5.4% and 33.4% respectively for quarter one financial year 18. On APE basis, 18.2% of our new business was backed by protection products versus 11.1% last year. The new business sum assured increased by 28% on back of insuring over 10 million lives in one quarter itself, as against 5.7 million lives in the same period last year across our individual and group business segment. A little bit on technology and operations, because we have been saying for the longest period of time that we have been investing a lot in technology, and we are at the forefront of what is happening from a technology perspective in the insurance space. So let me talk a little bit about how we are reimagining the insurance operating model. We are the leaders in the digital transformation of the industry, an effort that we embarked upon 5 to 7 years ago by re-architecting our tech stack and introducing e-suite of products to the market. We believe we are leading the way for others to follow by seizing every possible opportunity and first-mover advantage. We have made large investments in technology ahead of the curve, and benefits of the same are there to be seen in the form of plug-and-play integration with our partners, development of platforms and ecosystems, frictionless, cashless, paperless customer journeys, hyper-personalizations of propositions, just to name a few. Some of these are game-changing initiatives, and we do believe the impact of what we are doing will play out very well in our favor in the next few years. 99.9% of our individual new business gets initiated through digital platforms, and over 80% of our renewal policies are collected electronically. The overall persistency ratio has moved to 87% for 13 months. For individual business, the persistency ratio improved to 83% for the same cohort. However, we witnessed decline in the 61st month persistency due to specific cohort of business impacting the trend. The 13-month persistency for this cohort of 61st month was 69%. We continue to focus on improving persistency across our cohorts, and at an aggregate level have positive persistency variance in our EV. All the above highlights contributed to the strong performance reported for the quarter. EV grew from 152 billion to 157 billion, reflecting annualized operating return on EV of 18.4%. If you recall, last year we had asked Milliman to do a very detailed exercise on our EV, and they, based on that exercise, had asked us to increase our EV. So our return on operating EV was higher last year. When you compare 18.4% to kind of a couple of years back, it is very much in line with what we've been delivering every quarter on quarter. We continue to maintain industry-leading post-overrun new business margins of 24.2% versus 20.5% for the same period last year. VNB growth for quarter first was 43%. Our OPEX to total premium ratio reduced from 15.4% to 14.4%. Despite ongoing investments in technology, new growth opportunities, business development, analytics, and market benchmark payouts across our distribution partners. Our profit after tax was 3.8 billion, reflecting growth of 20%. Over 80% of our profit is contributed by policyholder surplus. We generated a healthy annualized return on equity of 31%. Solvency ratio continues to be strong at 197% despite high growth in new business. Internal accruals from in-force book continue to support our solvency and strong profit delivery. As per our assessment, current capital will be adequate to deliver 50% growth every year for next 3 years, assuming similar product mix. We are amongst the leading fund managers in India with an AUM of rupees 1.1 trillion. The debt-to-equity mix as on June 30, 2018 is 61:39. Now let me give you a quick update on our two wholly owned subsidiaries. HDFC Pension Management Company has now become the number one private-owned pension management company in India. Company has an AUM of rupees 30 billion as on June 30, 2018, delivering 113% growth year-on-year and taking our market share to 47.7% amongst private-owned pension management companies. We have over 2.5 lakh customers, retail as well as corporate, and highest number of corporate partnerships wherein NPS product has been launched. During quarter first, 38% of NPS contribution from corporates came to HDFC Life. HDFC International Life and Re Company, our Dubai-based subsidiary, continues to gain market share in the reinsurance segment. Last quarter was an important milestone for the company as it turned profitable for the first time within 10 quarters of starting the business. Moreover, no additional capital infusion is required for the company during the year. Some very quick closing remarks. There has been some coverage on our select product offerings with views based on limited understanding and assumptions. We believe life insurance in India is underpenetrated in its true form. Customers significantly lack coverage for both mortality and longevity risk. Thus, products catering to the untapped needs are great value contributors for customers and also provide wide spaces of growth to HDFC Life. As we enter into these niche segments, we also have to be cognizant of sound risk management practices, which is reflected in the sensitivity analysis of our EV and NBMs based on various macroeconomic factors. Finally, in line with our established brand name, the Board of Directors today approved the proposal for changing the corporate name of company from HDFC Standard Life Insurance Company Limited to HDFC Life Insurance Company Limited, subject to the approval of shareholders and relevant statutory and regulatory authorities. This has been approved by our board to align our registered corporate name with our brand name, HDFC Limited and Standard Life Mauritius Holdings 2006 Limited, continue to be deeply involved with the company as our promoters and hold 51.6 and 29.3% stake in the company respectively as on June 30, 2018. The detailed disclosure on our results is available in our investor presentation. In the end, I would like to thank all of you for the continued support. We are happy to take any questions now.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Prakash Kaparia from Anived Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. Sir, if you could give us some color on, you know, the individual AP business, is it, you know, still concentrated in, you know, the top 6-7 states? What is happening on the ground, especially tier 2, tier 3 kind of cities? Do we see an opportunity there? That is the first question. And then VNB margins, we have done, you know, exceptionally well. So I think we can sustain this assuming a more or less similar kind of product mix, or given, you know, ULIP is typically towards the end and increasing ULIP share for the year. If you could comment on that.
So as far as the, you know, state-wise market share is concerned, you know, one thing I would like to clarify is that, you know, number, you know, in certain cases where we don't have, you know, enough data on the customers or where it is coming from a online perspective, and the address, especially on our group business, when we don't have the address or the details of the policy holder under a master policy, we are right now clubbing under corporate. So as a result, it reflects under state of Maharashtra. So when you look at our data, it appears as if a majority of our business is coming from Maharashtra, which is not necessarily correct. If I was to look at the business split, for example, across metro cities, you know, it is quite well split across, let's say, the top 7 cities of India. As we have stated earlier and in the past that, you know, we are working with 9 small finance banks, we're working with other 18 other MFIs, our spread of business across various parts of India is only increasing over a period of time. So whatever data we are providing, while it is based on the, you know, the details we have of the policy holder, it does not really reflect reality, because in many cases we do not have as much details as you would like of our policy holders and to the extent we would like. You talked about the margins for this quarter. Well, you know, the margins uplift is coming from 3 areas. One is obviously there is a volume uplift. Secondly, there is a clear protection uplift. Then there is, you know, and you saw the protection uplift both on the individual side and the group credit protect side. Third, you know, you have also seen pretty rapid growth coming from our annuity business, which we launched some time back, and, you know, we are seeing a very positive movement coming as a result of that. So we believe that our profit signature is spreading across various product categories, and it is diversifying our risk and diversifying our profit pool. Point number two, we believe that because of the diversification of the profit pool and the kind of innovation which we have done from a product perspective and how we are reaching out to the customers, this is sustainable. And third, we have always talked about very consistently that we believe in a smooth upward curve, and we don't see any reason why this will not continue going forward in the future from this point on also.
Understood. Lastly, sir, on the pension side, given that, you know, you've achieved scale and traction, any thoughts on scaling that business? Typically, margins would be lower, but with scale, operating leverage would come in. So any focus plans now on the pension side, on the subsidiary?
Yes. I mean, we entered the pension space with a very clear objective in mind that, you know, this is a huge opportunity. The NPS corpus is growing at a rapid pace and will continue to grow going forward in the future. Now, you, based on some of the numbers I shared, it is very apparent that we have acquired a dominant position in the private space.
Right.
The regulator is quite clear and has made an intent quite clear, and it was there in the budget also, that the government money will also open up to the private pension fund managers very soon. It should have happened by now. There have been some delays, and we believe that when it opens up, we will be quite well positioned to get a decent share of that too. This also plays very well into our overall retirement strategy and our strategy on the annuity side, because when these NPS funds mature and 60% has been converted to annuity, hopefully we can be right there to, you know, gain business on the annuity side. So yes, we are very optimistic about the pension fund company. Right now, we suffer from the fact that the fund margin, the fund management charges are quite low. By the way, the regulator had come out with an RFP where a price of close to 10 basis points was established instead of 1 basis point right now. And we hope when the new RFP comes out, hopefully the price will move in favor of the fund managers, and it will positively impact our business.
Understood. Currently, the yield is capped at 1%, is what?
It's 0.01% is the fund management charge.
Understood. Thank you. All the best. I'll come back if I have more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, and congrats for a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
One question, actually, two questions from my side. One was on the group savings business and the other was on the group protection business. Just wanted to understand, A, reasons for high growth in this quarter, you know, what were the drivers, and how should we be thinking about it going forward?
So, Nischint, I mean, we continue to do very well on the credit protect side in spite of the concerns you expressed, I think, by some of you itself, that how long can you maintain the growth. We have always believed that if you look at a combination of untapped potential in terms of a value penetration, either on the sum assured side or on the coverage side, we still have got some distance to cover. As we have shown in our number of partnerships, we have always said that, you know, we are right now only one third of our partnerships are exclusive. Others, we have a certain market share, we can continue to improve upon it. And then we also can continue to capitalize on the overall growth in the lending business of, you know, various companies who we have a partnership with. So we are, while the first quarter was great, we also said in the last conference call that over a period of time, this growth will come down, but it will come down from a much higher base. As far as group funded business is concerned, the last year was a bit of a muted year for the group funding side because of various reasons. I do believe that this year will be better because some of the funding which did not happen last year, as the interest rates hardened, the amount of money which people had to put in for some of the group funding side came down. As these interest rates stabilize, the money will, people have to pump in money for kind of the liabilities this year. So given that, we have a very strong, I mean, we have, you know, one of the leading market players in that business, the group funding side should also do, in terms of growth, much better than last year. So I hope I've answered your question.
Sure. So can we sort of, you know, I mean, if I have to put it in as many words, can we sort of extrapolate group savings business growth for the entire year?
We don't want to get into those, but we do expect solid growth across the two businesses in this year, yes.
So, and on the group protection side, this is largely credit, I believe this is largely.
This is all credit protect, yes. Group protection is a large, GTI is a small part of it, but GTI is a very small part of it.
Okay, and have you seen margins kind of coming down in this segment?
So, Nischint, it's a combination of, on one side, yes, as we said last time, a lot of competitors are trying to enter the space after watching us do what we did. And, you know, only thing some of these people know or some of the insurance companies know is to, you know, try to reduce the margins and try to gain some market share. But at the same time, we also said that, that we get the benefit of scale. We get the benefit of, you know, the scaling benefit comes through in terms of lower expense. Our experience in terms of what kind of business to do and what we should not do, that also kind of kicks in. Third, the reinsurance rates also continue to get better if we are able to write good quality business. So kind of they balance out overall over a period of time. But some of the growth is coming, some of the growth is coming from the MFI side of the business, and the margins tend to be slightly lower. But you know, we believe in the long run, if the market does not continue to behave normally, we should be able to maintain and sustain our margins in this business, because we have a very large scale in this business now.
Great, great. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you, Vishnu.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Kariwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I had a question around the annuity product. So, can you talk about, you mentioned in brief about the traction, which is very strong. Can you elaborate on that? And then what are the risks associated with these products, and how does the company go about managing that, please?
So, I mean, we have looked at the annuity opportunity for a certain, pretty long period of time. If you really connect the dots, we made the first statement on the annuity side, we're actually going investing in the pension, business itself. And then gradually, slowly, we tried to ensure that our annuity rates were competitive. Then we ensured that each of our channels started selling annuity. Then we came out with this unique product, which is the only product in the marketplace, which is a deferred annuity product. Now we are trying to ramp up even further in terms of some of the other things which we are doing. I can't share that, but and for us, we are looking at it as a important strategic initiative for us. But you know, talking about this specific product, it's a unique proposition. No one has it. Future rates are guaranteed today for life. It meets the life needs of a working population, only has a defined contribution option otherwise. I struggle when people try to translate or dump it down to an IRR calculation, because then in a way you're assuming that the average life of a person who's buying this particular product from us is X years, which is incorrect, because young people are buying it, sadly old people are also buying it. We are taking on a longevity risk, and the reason why the product is working for us is because the product proposition is so simple to understand for the customers, and a lot of customers believe that this works for them. So in my mind, it can't be compared to any other product. And, yes, I completely agree ROP is a natural hedge. So we do believe on the basis of where we are, as our distributors understand more and more of these products, we'll gain more traction, and this unique offering will remain for a certain period of time. I can also predict that as other companies realize that, oh God, we have done this, come out with this particular product, they will try to copy us. Because that's what you've seen with every other product innovation we have done in the past. But we are not sitting, and doing nothing. We are also thinking ahead. And I'm sure you'll continue to see unique product offerings come out of HDFC Sable in the future also.
Got that. And second question was around individual protection. So that has grown very well. From a distribution channel perspective, is there anything any particular channel driving that, or it's all across?
No, so as we have shared in the past, Sumit, that we always drive a product strategy in each of the channels. So in various channels of ours, we have been pushing and promoting protection in a big way. And I think that uplift based on the kind of way we launch incentives, the way we kind of pushed a certain product mix strategy of the channels, our protection strategy is working quite well. Just to give you a flavor, if you go to our investor presentation, slide 20, it gives you a clear indication in terms of where the uplift has come in the protection space. And, for example, on the direct side, you will see a very strong uplift. You will see a strong uplift even on the banker side. And agency side, it kind of remains stable, but they have increased the non-par others. So, the lift has come across channels and is basically coming from our product strategy, and one of the elements of the strategy in this quarter was to kind of launch the annual, overall incentive plan and what the core product strategy would be. And we are getting a positive impact coming through because of that.
Got it. Thank you. And final question is, can I get the absolute number of group credit term and group credit life and group term for the quarter?
So we did credit protect of 764 crores and 690 crores of group premium in this year, in this quarter.
Okay, that's it. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Adarsh Parasrampuria from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Sir, on the protection business, had a question on what's the like-to-like comparison on the 8 basis, the mix? I think the 11 and 18 are not comparable, right? So what would the level look if you recasted your group term business?
So actually it is there in the investor presentation itself on the APE business. Huh? Yeah. So if you look at slide 10,
yeah.
Right, so over there when you look from the bottom, the individual share of protection business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you were referring to was 18 and 11. Just before that, if you look at product,
yeah.
Right, over there you'll find non-par protection of 8.
Yeah.
And before that was 5.
This will be the individual pure protect business, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm just referring to, so the difference between the two would be the group credit protect and group term. So within that, I think the 11 is not the comparable number for 18, right? I would think it's not recasted group term.
13 and a half for last year.
Okay, it was 13 and a half, understood, perfect. And the second question was, you know, I think it's been asked, but I just wanted to focus on that a little bit more, is, you know, 13% protection mix going to 18, and, you know, there has been a pretty sharp uplift in the protection business, which is obviously a higher margin business. So, you know, I just wanted to understand directionally, right, you know, you've done a phenomenal job on, you know, clearly a leadership gap vis-a-vis the other insurers has also expanded in terms of your protection business. So, you know, but I think somewhere, as you mentioned, there is a pricing game happening as well. So what's the sustainable, you know, where do you think, you know, protection mix can go? And over like next 2 to 3 years, and consequently there'll be some clawbacks on margins, but overall it should be accretive. So next 2 to 3 years, how do you see that panning out?
So Alash, you know, first is very difficult to answer this question in terms of where we expect it to go. We want it to go to as high as possible. It was dependent on, as you rightly pointed out, you know, how the market opens up or how the market expands in terms of overall protection business. And as you have seen till now from execution perspective, we have found wide spaces and ways and means of expanding this number as a company. We do believe, and we as a management team very strongly believe, that India, when it reaches a certain GDP per capita, there will be a takeoff in India overall protection business overall, and obviously we will be well positioned to capitalize on that. We will continue to strive for pushing protection business in each of our channels in a very aggressive way. But we also realize that as a company, it is very, very important to continue to find wide spaces, and just doing the same protection business the same way as others are doing, we will obviously continue to increase that ratio. It might not expand as dramatically as what we're able to achieve in this particular quarter. So I don't want to get caught in a percentage per se, because we might be able to come out with a niche offering in some other wide space which could contribute a pretty large portion to our business, and so tomorrow you might say, oh, now your protection percentage has gone down. What we would like you to look at is how on an absolute basis we are expanding this number, and we believe that the opportunity for growth going forward in the future is large, but it also partly depends on when it takes off. And so I'm actually not giving you a number, but I do believe that the opportunity is large, and we'll look at every ways and means of capitalizing on it. Now, to give you just another flavor, when you look at our new ecosystems where we are talking about these 24 partnerships, a lot of the business that you're doing there is only protection. Now, the numbers are small, but if, let's say, some of these partnerships take off, it will all be protection business which will be coming through HDFC Life. So I don't know what the inflection point of that would be. But what I'm trying to tell you is that we've already kind of locked in a lot of these partnerships using technology, integration, our recommendation, nudge engines, etc. And when it takes off, we'll benefit from it. So I'm not answering your percentage question and how it will go, but I'm just giving you a flavor for what it could be.
And my last question on pure protection, right? So, you know, there has been some takeoff, like as you mentioned, in terms of your, pure protection growth. Otherwise, in year 16 and even 15, the growth wasn't so so dramatic, is more kind of driven by credit protect. So what's the qualitative reason for the takeoff, say, in the last 5 quarters, right? So I will put it FY17. So is there anything specific to the company, or you're seeing that, you know, for some reason there is better demand as well from customers, they're accepting it much better? So if you can just talk about what's happening on pure protection.
So frankly, you know, for us, we have been treading along this path for at least for the past 4-5 years. We were the first movers in a sizable, in any sizable way along this journey, especially when we launched our online protection. And we also did take some tough steps in terms of having even differential pricing between what was offered online. We were bold enough to say that whatever we were selling, we will sell it even cheaper. So it's kind of being talked about now, and Amitabh mentioned that we usually have a first mover advantage in terms of launching products and expanding the suite of products that are being offered and venturing into segments that don't exist. Now everyone is talking about protection, but really we've been talking about this forever. Same thing with credit protect. People are now, especially in the last couple of calls earlier, I think 60-70% of the time was on discussing credit protect when we've been doing this for a while. And exactly the same, I'm sure, is beginning to happen on annuity, and that's why Amitabh spent some time in detail covering that aspect. So it's difficult for us to pinpoint one reason or two reasons as to why protection is on an upward trajectory for us. It is a whole host of things, and it is not, again, just one lever in terms of competing on the basis of rate. We launched several initiatives apart from just pure protection, even in the health space, even in spaces like, you know, cancer care, for example, which is slightly oblique to just life protection. We re-innovated on our flagship protection product itself on giving several options. And so a slightly long-winded answer, but it is really a holistic approach to protection. We really don't believe it's a switch that we just wake up and say we want to sell more of protection. Because if you look at our agency channel, for example, numbers are in there. For at least the last couple of years, more than 10% has been they've been selling us protection, and that's not easy to embed within our own agency force to say, please go and have this conversation with your policyholder that is he adequately covered for human life.
Understood. Thanks. And then just last data keeping question is there a seasonality in the group term insurance in first quarter? Does that number jump in 1Q and be a little more moderate in 2Q, 3Q, 3Q, or that's not the case?
So in the first quarter, normally there is a flow through which happens from the March quarter, but please understand that, you know, all of us, because we want to ensure all the policies are issued, do keep our books open for a certain couple of days so that the investors do not lose the tax benefit or the kind of customers do not lose the tax benefit. So there is a bit of a flow which happens, but it has been happening every year. So from that perspective, yes, a little bit bump up does happen, but I don't see that as a...
It's not material.
It is not material.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Amitabh and Prabhu.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Gulati from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, on conservation ratio across lines, do we see a decline across there? So what is the reason for that?
So you're referring to the LODR, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So one of the major reasons is on the account of GST. Last time that we had kept the period open and we allowed people to pay up, etc., because reviving those policies also was a little bit easier because the GST rates were going to go up. So if at all, last year was a little bit of an aberration, if you like, because we had a lot of revival that happened. So that's largely the reason. So I would focus more on persistency than on the conservation ratio. And also, sometimes in some of the channels, they are very small. So a small amount also leads to a much larger skew.
So in your view, in general, also not this year, persistency will be a better metric to look at than conservation ratio?
I definitely believe so, yes.
Okay. And secondly, ma'am, on ROEVs, I mean, this is probably, you've actually done a great thing reporting in Q1 itself, ROEV, but there's a difference in ROEV this quarter versus what you've reported for Q1. Obviously, last year Q1s, we don't have the waterfall chart. So is there any specific reason for that?
Yeah, like Amitabh mentioned, this was just before our IPO and there was a Milliman review that was done. And at that point in time, it was felt that some modeling changes needed to be put in, which were positive. So there was a bit of conservatism there. On a like-for-like basis, last year's number would be 17.2%.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
That bump into account, if you remove it from the last year, then it was 17.2.
Yeah. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Mehra from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and congratulations on a good performance. So perhaps we are going through this inflection in protection. So in your view, how many years away we would be where we would have a 40% or a 50% protection share in our business?
Sorry, your voice was a little bit unclear. Can you just repeat?
Yeah. So my question, is it clear now?
Yeah.
So my question was, perhaps we are now finally going through that inflection point in protection as a business. So in your understanding and in your view, and given that we would be the biggest player in protection, how many years in your view would be where, say, protection share can be like 40-50% of business for us? And maybe it's a number which is not alien in other Asian markets. So
how many years? From my perspective, yeah, that 50% is... just all ask, I'm sure I'll retire by then, I don't know what that is. But our view is that yes, it will take off. Now, you know, what that point for India is, I don't know. But I don't think it is more than 5 years away. It should happen in the next, I presume in the next 2 to 3 years. And when that happens, the protection you will see for the industry, the protection share definitely go up from single digits to, you know, I would say reasonable, you know, somewhere in the 10 to 20% range. And assuming the market was to double when that was to happen, yes,
yeah.
We will be quite well positioned given all the lock-ins that you have done across various parts of the business and the distributors, and we'll get hopefully a decent share of that lift as and when it happens. What we're really doing from a strategy perspective is to ensure that we are preparing ourselves for that, call it tsunami or the wave or whatever when it comes.
Yeah.
So what we are thinking that what can we do as a company to be prepared for it? When it comes, we rise with that tide or rise with that wave. And that's all we are focused on. At the same time, on an incremental basis, we are driving higher protection through every means possible. So I forgot to mention, for example, that, you know, even we have launched a group health product where we are covering on group health, and we know group health is also seeing initial signs of success, and we are not doing group health, all the typical employer-employee. We are doing group health the way we do credit protect. So, you know, we're trying ways and means to continue to expand our franchise in that manner.
Right.
Yeah, one other point I would like to add is that, you know, on slide 22, when you look at the average customer age of non-par protection, you'll see that it is 34, 35. And so this is the kind of the new pool that has just come into the job market and already are sold on the need to buy protection, unlike people who are above 50. And so we believe that this is a new way of life and new way of thinking. And when you say that it costs less than 5 rupees per day or some such number like that, it really puts things into context.
Right. And also I think digital is a big channel going forward in terms of pure protection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not just protection, but also how we sell protection is a big driver.
Right. Great. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Oswal from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. My question on the operating expenses to premium ratio.
Manish, you're not really audible.
My question on the operating expenses to total premium ratio. In FY18, it was 13.5%. And in this quarter, it is around 14.4%. My question over on the medium-term perspective, given the digital initiatives and the sourcing from the digital route and improving productivity, how do you see this ratio to pan out?
Yeah, so just one correction is that because of the seasonality in business and given that about 60-65% of the costs are fixed or semi-variable in nature, really the comparison is between Q1 of this year versus Q1 of last year against FY of last year. So rather than comparing 14.4 with 13.5, I would suggest that comparing 14.4 with 15.4 is probably more the right way of looking at it. And that waterfall is also given by us on slide 27, which shows that fixed expenses are going down, which is what one would expect as one builds scale, and with a slight sliver of upward movement on variable expenses. So as we continue to grow, we would expect that our adding fixed costs should taper off, at least in proportion to growth. So, you know, frankly for us, getting to high single digits even a couple of years ago was not an inconceivable idea. We could have got there very easily because we'd already reached 10.5%. But it's really investment in a lot of new things, including technology that Amitabh talked about in his opening remarks, that's cost money. And also, as all of you know, that all our commercials with our distributors are fully factored in with no sweetheart deals. And so all of that does require... you know, for us to find the money to be able to fund growth.
Sure. Second question of our total protection business, what percentage is protection size percentage of the total protection business?
Sorry, what percentage of, meaning is what percentage is protection?
Credit protection business.
Yeah. So if you look at slide 7, So you'll see on the bottom left hand side. Are you there?
Yeah, 31%
for FY18 and 29 for FY19, which is the group.
So this is increasing share of production. So okay. So my question was of the total protection, there's a one protection call against the, you know, home loan. So that business, how much of the total protection?
So home loan is about 40% of our credit protect portfolio.
Okay.
Home loan and LAP together.
And last question on this margin improvement YOY.
Yeah.
So it is major factor behind is increasing proportion of the protection business, or any other factors also playing here?
So several factors. Protection is one of them, but there's also retirement related solutions, annuity that Amitabh talked about, and you know, there are several nuances. So for example, even in participating product, if I were to sell a 10-year policy versus say a 15-year policy, the margins vary. So each of these products and the nuances in those products, we do incentivize our sales force to sell the right kind of products. And just changing some of these things on the fringes also does add to a better product mix that gives us higher margins. So it's not just a protection as one reason, but maybe there are 6 or 7 such reasons.
Even non-par savings, you know, we are doing fairly well.
Yeah.
So the non-par savings...
You'll find that our non-par savings also has grown as a percentage.
And on persistency ratio, there's one slide in that it is mentioned that the direct broker side, the persistency ratio is low compared to the other channels. So can you explain the reason behind it?
So generally brokers, we have experience, apart from where there is a face-to-face contact with the customer, where there is largely, say, telecalling, etc., the persistency levels and the stickiness with the customer has not been very good. And Amitabh again mentioned that there are certain brokers that we no longer do business with. And perhaps we've learned that with some of these brokers, it's not really in either the customer's interest or the company's interest to really deal with that broker. So we will be very selective in the brokers that we want to work with.
Sure, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congrats on great set of numbers. I note that we have been making a very good progress on cross-sell with nearly 8% of the policies coming from this. So if you can give some color on this in terms of product type, which we typically cross-sell, channels that we use, and how does it differ in terms of profitability versus the rest of the business?
So, you know, this particular channel is more in a development phase right now for us because, you know, not only the fact is that we have to spend a lot of money in first connecting with these customers either through call, mails or whatever. Then if the customer is interested, we need to engage the customer in a couple of conversations to ensure that we can, you know, sell a policy to them. So we need our own sales force to be able to connect and sell to them. So right now it is early days. We have now created a separate channel to be able to capitalize on this opportunity. And again, as I said, we're in the process of hiring and creating that separate channel. We'll be able to share more details in terms of the product categories and what the profitability is only over a period of time. But we see, and I don't know whether you heard me, we have covered or assured 1 crore lives in the first quarter of this year in comparison to 55 lakh lives in the first quarter of last year. So obviously, this is a huge emerging opportunity for us. And we are very focused on first ensuring that we can get the right model in terms of what is the best way to connect with the customer, what is the best way to, you know, engage with the customer post the first call or the first interaction with the customer, and then what products work best for that particular profile of the customer. So that is work in process. So it will take some time. When we are ready to share it, we will be obviously very happy to share it.
So this is like largely direct channel that we...
Yes, end of the day, these customers have to be approached by our sales force. And yes, it is a direct channel, finally, yes.
Right.
And you see that our direct numbers are growing quite rapidly.
Yeah, I see that, of course. So that is one of the reasons, I think. And secondly, the protection business persistency remains relatively low, with 13-month persistency at around 73. Now, with rising share of this business in the total premium, the upside in the overall persistency...
So if you go to slide, I think it's 30.
Slide.
You're right, that is because of health. Our health persistency is low. The protection business, the pure protection mortality coverage business, the persistency is extremely high. Upwards of 88% on the online space, yes.
Okay.
So in the ISO document we had given that, there's a combination of both. Yes, health persistency we need to work on.
Right. So the skew is so much like we originate so much of health policies, is it?
Yeah, the number of policies originated on health is very high because, you know, the average size of the policy is very, very small, at couple of thousand rupees at best. So yes, the number of health policies we end up selling is high, and if the persistency of those health policies is low, it tends to skew the overall persistency number.
Okay. And lastly, we have disclosed this surrender value impact on the new business margin because of this change in the surrender rate is less than 1%.
Yeah, all of you were speculating, so we thought might as well give you the number.
Sure. So is it going to be prospective for sure, or is there any chance that it can be retrospective, in which case it may impact the EV also?
Well, we don't think it will be retrospective because it will not make sense. It will impact some of the larger companies. The impact on some of the larger companies will be extremely high, which I'm sure they can't afford. So we have obviously given a impact on new business margin, which is of course prospective. I see the chances of a retrospective thing happening to be quite low. I think the message we are trying to give is, you know, if the regulator comes out with these changes, our impact on us will be minimal.
Right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Participants are requested to limit their questions to 2 per participant. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Saraf from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for giving this opportunity. Most of my business-related questions have been answered. Just a few data points. So it seems that your banca channel share has gone down to 65% from 71%. So what would be the share of HDFC Bank in this and how it has trended over these two periods?
You're talking about the quarter-on-quarter change in
HDFC
Bank. If you have any other question, go ahead and ask. In the meantime, I'll just pull out the data.
Yeah, and also I wanted to understand how is the AUM breakdown in ULIP panning out. So the reason I want to understand is, given that the equity market has been volatile of late and interest rates are going up, so obviously we have seen that the overall AUM, the share of debt has been rising. So is this the case also in the ULIP AUM as well?
So
the interest rates are actually strengthened. So the debt component has actually come down as well. So while yes, equity has come down, but the debt share of the AUM has also come down during the quarter.
So would you have some breakdown in terms of for the ULIP AUM? What would be the debt equity share?
I'll just...
We'll pull out the data, so let us give you the data for
sure.
HDFC Bank. For the first quarter of last year, the account was 59%. It's gone down to 55% this year.
59. And so at the end of FY18, would you have the same data for HDFC Bank?
Yeah, we'll have the data. We'll give that to you.
Okay, and so I'll just slip in one more question. So at the start you mentioned that 1/3 of your credit protect partners are exclusive. So what percentage of your credit protect would be coming from these exclusive partners? And if you can also share some color on the terms of exclusivity in terms of for how long this exclusivity will last. And so basically just your thoughts on
we
that.
We don't want to get into giving, we don't want to give data to our competitors to say, okay, that much of business is out there to be grabbed. So now we would like to avoid giving, data coming from these partners. But your second question was, is the AUM?
Yeah. So on the AUM. Yeah, on the AUM, of the total of the 109,634, I can give you the numbers.
Sure.
Right? So 52,391 was unit linked, individual. And group was 5157.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Thanks a lot for allowing me to ask a question. Sir, on the annuity business, just wanted to know that on page 20, slide 22, we have given the average policy term. If you can help that for annuity, what would be the average policy term of the policyholder?
Harshit, why do you want us to reveal every possible data point to you and then to the computers? But yes, the policy term is quite long. And
okay.
My worry is you'll use that to do some back calculation and then make some assumptions. So I will be very circumspect about providing the data.
So Harshit, in terms of there is no end date for the payouts to happen. So this is until the person is alive. If you're asking about what is the average age that one onboards the customer, it is only above 40. Average is 55, but the policy terms are 45. So the policy terms say they're only above 45, and the average might be slightly higher.
Thanks a lot. This has been, again, you have been the first mover in this segment. So congratulations. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinod Rajamani from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just wanted to know on the annuity product, how are you managing the interest rate risk?
So, see, the annuity product...
So, before she starts, I just want to clarify. Please understand and appreciate that it has been 2 years of development work, both either before we took the idea to RDA and to convince them to give us the approval for this product. So, it's a two-year journey. Now, please answer the question.
So the interest rate risk as annuity is fairly limited because you collect all the premiums in advance as a single premium. And as and when you get the coupons on the investments, you pay it out as annuity stream to the customers. So there is really no interest rate risk here. So even if the interest rates go up and down, since you have already locked in the single premium into a debt security, there is no uncertainty with regards to future interest rates rising or falling. So, there is, an outside chance that, if the policyholder survives beyond the term of the assets that you have bought, then at that time you may have some investment interest rate risk, falling. But, since the average age is about 55 years or so, the chance of policyholders surviving beyond the asset term is fairly limited. So hence the interest rate risk is negligible.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mitesh Jain from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So on the margins, if you look at the progression on account of product mix,
it's around 170 basis point increase in margin. And if you look at the share of non-par savings has gone up by around 300 basis point. The protection share has gone up from 13% to 18%. Which means that these two line items are around 20 basis point, 20% percentage point VNB margin higher than our overall margin. Is it a reasonable calculation?
So if I can take that, it's not such a straightforward one because the products that we sell also change. The channels that we sell these products also change. So it's a lot more complex because the cost of acquisition between different channels, as you know, is very different. So it does get, it's not straightforward. So it's overall in terms of the product mix and not only due to non-par savings and non-par protection.
But optically it is looking at despite significant sharp increase in protection and increase in non-par savings, the margin improvement is 170 basis point.
Because it's not a simple math in terms of what the margins are, like I said. So even between protection, if there are different tenor of what protection is and the channels, like I said. So for example, it's well known that agency channel is a lot more expensive than some of the other bank assurance channels and where the growth comes from. So there is a channel mix impact as well, apart from the product mix impact.
And in terms of margins on the protection alone, at what threshold level you will think that it does not make sense to operate in that segment from a risk perspective, because protection also carries a higher risk than a savings product?
So whatever margins we have are based on taking into account all the risks that we have in the product. So the margins are decent. We are very happy with the margins. And, you know, we are delivering at a corporate level a certain level of margins. Now, if the margins fall way below that number, then yeah, we'll relook at it. But that's a long way to go.
Sure, sir. Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Participants are requested to limit their questions to one per participant. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Avinash Singh from SBI Cap Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of quick questions, more on your not quarter, in fact, full year disclosures. So first on, we are talking about technology expenses, but where are these expenses? Because if I look the OPEX breakup, that IT expenditure is a very small part. I mean, 86 crores for the full year FY18.
Jokes apart, you know, there's a lot of money which goes in CapEx, which you are not really seeing.
Okay, so I mean, there is much more technology expenditure beyond this 86 crores.
I mean, yes, there are CapEx, so part of it flows to depreciation, but part of it is in, you know, designing and thinking through some of these projects as we move forward. A lot of the investment is also going in terms of people who are working on these technology projects, which goes to the people cost and not necessarily comes to technology cost.
Okay. And regarding your ad and marketing expenditure that saw sharp jump, a large part of this payment was to HDFC Bank. That has seen sort of an 80% year increase in FY18 to 400 crore plus. Now, how does this payment to HDFC Bank fit under this regulatory framework that has come last year? And on that also, what has changed? I mean, on a year-on-year basis, I mean, the HDFC Bank has not added so many branches or ATM. So, I mean, how is this this payment to us, this publicity to HDFC Bank, I mean, negotiated?
So, if I can take that, as you can see that, first of all, you'll agree that HDFC Life reflects and its balance sheet reflects market rates. And they're fully commercial rates as per whatever is happening in the market, and that's not the case with a lot of other peers. So while the question that you're raising right now is what you see on the balance sheet, but really one should be asking what one doesn't see on the balance sheet. But to your point, HDFC Bank has been adding branches, although the pace might have tapered off a little bit in the last year, but nevertheless, it's more in terms of, do we have billboards outside, say, the airport, or do we have ads and visibility, especially that given that HDFC Bank has tied up with the other two. And so it is really, visibility does play a big part of it. And so for us to judiciously decide as to, for every rupee that we spend, what is it that we get through? And given that we are market leaders in overall new business margin, that's something that we would not sacrifice just for the top line. So there is no question of us paying any distributor anything unless there is something that we see in terms of a win-win situation.
No, but I mean, the regulator has stopped you, I mean, apart from commission, from paying other expenditure or other things. I mean, everything should reflect in commission if, I mean, regulatory change that, except for the individual agent. So how are you, I mean, how does this fit this ad expenditure in this regulatory framework?
So 2 points. One is that we continue to be audited, and all our numbers reviewed by the regulator and inspected by the regulator, as well as full disclosure as related parties. I think beyond that, I think don't really want to go down that path because there's not a lot more that we can do as a company.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to limit their questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Gada from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, Amitabh. Hi, Vibha. Many congratulations on excellent performance. Just a couple of questions. First, could you give an update on the health insurance product, the Click to Protect Health, any update on that front? And the second question was, is there any meaningful overlap at this point in the annuity product customers with any previous sales that has been done? Just trying to understand how are we trying to mitigate the longevity risk which may come with the annuity product.
So answering your question on Click to Protect Health, well, we have a couple of products in the health space now. One is the Easy Health, which is the fixed payout, traditional health product. We have a combo, which we are selling with Apollo Minic. We also have a group health product. We have cancer care and we have cardiac care. These are the products which we have in the health space. Overall, we are trending well. As we, I've stated in the earlier part of the call that the persistency of the health products is lower than where we want it to be, but this is an area which we are very committed to because we believe that the health opportunities in India is very, very large. We are also hoping the regulator will listen to the life insurance industry and bring us on par with the standalone health and the non-life players, and as and when that happens, hopefully we'll be one of the few life insurance players who can capitalize on that opportunity. As far as the second question was concerned, our annuity business is coming from a combination of the vesting base of our whatever we have sold as a pension product, and also we are winning a lot of business on the open market side where customers do want to get the right kind of rate, the right kind of service, and we are winning that business also. But this business comes through our distribution partners. We are not seeing that much as you would like, customers kind of calling us up and saying we want to buy an annuity product. So end of the day, you do need a distribution which can reach out to some of these customers and sell the annuity products. We're obviously seeing a huge amount of traction, but still got a long way to go.
If I can just put a follow-up, what's the? How do you mitigate the longevity risk in the product?
We obviously put in India, you don't have a perfect hedge, but there is a ways and means of managing that risk proactively, and that's precisely what we have been developing over a period of time. As I mentioned, it's been a 2-year journey on the deferred annuity, but even on the immediate annuity, we are doing something similar. We are, as I said, we are monitoring this risk very, very closely. We are very confident that as an organization, we are more than okay in terms of what we are doing. To give you one example, the majority of what we sell as an annuity product is return of premium, where the risks are much lower in comparison to if selling a whole of life kind of annuity. So we are selling this annuity the majority of the annuity we are selling is only above a certain age group. So we manage these risks in various ways. Obviously, we have to manage the risk of being able to hedge the payouts also, but this risk can also be managed through other factors. I'm giving you, for example, one or two factors which we look at quite closely to ensure that the risk is contained and managed well.
Sure. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Again, not on this quarter, but mainly on your FY18 numbers. When we look at our first-year commissions on ULIP business, so for full-year FY18, that was around 17%. And when I compare it to the industry, this is very high versus most of your private peers. Rather, on the renewal premiums, you pay significantly lower than the industry average. Any reason why commission structure on ULIP is structured that way?
On the ULIP, when you say ours is very high, I don't really buy that.
17%. IID numbers. It's around 17% of your first year commissions on your first year ULIP premium.
Yeah, and that is because IRDA has come up with the Chrome guidelines, which enable us to pay more through the commission route. And even before those guidelines were in, we did have, as long as the IRR of the product that is filed with IRDA is in line with its regulations and we get IRDA approval, it is really a switch between whether you pay more through commission or whether you pay more through,
Ultimately, you know, Harshit, it depends on what kind of, you know, the commercial structure and the product structure you're trying to drive with a distributor. Now, certain distributors like selling products in a certain way, like to get paid in a certain way. End of the day, we want to ensure that the customer value proposition is correct. We also, at the same time, we like to satisfy the distributor's requirements. And as a part of that process, you know, you will see some of these small differences.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhukar Ladha from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Sorry, can't hear you very well.
Hello?
Better.
Good evening. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Can you split your group business into the different buckets, Credit Protect, the funds business and group protection?
Yeah, we just gave it. We can give it again if you like. So for the first quarter, Credit Protect is 764 crores.
Right.
And group is 690.
Okay. You also mentioned that on the microfinance side of Credit Protect, profitability is lower. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I think, Madhukar, that's enough of elaboration in the sense that, you know, microfinance side, ultimately because of the size of the loan which they're giving and kind of service they're providing to some of these borrowers, they would like the product to be priced quite finely. We also believe that it's a huge opportunity for us in the long run to be able to create a set of customers and then set of customers who look at buying individual life insurance over a period of time, so kind of their interests are aligned. So yes, here the margins are slightly lower, but as we said, you know, over a period of time, we believe we can sustain our margins for overall business as we move forward.
So a follow-up on that is, are you allowed to price Credit Protect differently across different customer segments? I thought...
Yeah, we, based on the product filings, I think a lot of the companies have done, based on the cohort you're underwriting, how you're distributing, who the potential customer is, yes, you can price it differently. Yes.
Based on geography, based on take-up rate, there are a number of factors that go into the pricing. It's not just one price for all loans.
Understood.
So there's a full range.
And lastly...
Well, you see that in our presentation, we have given a kind of color on what the overall pricing of this product is in comparison to individual, you know, protection pricing. Because there's been a lot of commentary about how group, you know, business this potentially could be priced at a much higher rate and all of that. So I think we have given a color just to make people understand that the difference is very, very small.
It's 30% higher, right, as you mentioned in the presentation.
Yes, and this is based on no medical underwriting. We have absolutely, you know, no idea what the customer, in many cases, the customer can just, you know, take a policy, no questions asked. So obviously the pricing would be higher and, you know, 30% bump up in pricing is, I think, more than reasonable.
And also the tenors are very different. So here on average, you're talking about 3 to 5 years as against a longer tenor.
And also the 30% is an average across the portfolio. If you actually look at home loan, that will be priced better or favorable, slightly cheaper than probably if you do, say, business loan or MFI. So it depends. It varies. The range is pretty wide. So it's very difficult to compare an individual product with a group product. And, you know, even within individual product, you have a smoker rate different from non-smoker rate. And then there is a you know, medical, non-medical.
Ages that's will be different. So, you know, so that's why we've given across portfolio to give some color because there's been some commentary around.
There are no just two numbers where you can take one by the other and say this is so much higher. So it's not like that.
Right. Thanks. This is very helpful. And my last question is on the economic variance of 190 crores negative that we witnessed this quarter. This, I would suspect, is largely because of higher interest rates and negative equity.
Yeah, almost entirely because of that, yes.
No other factors?
No, there's no. I mean, the other factor is almost minuscule. Almost the entire amount is made of this.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for this and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
The The next question is from the line of Neeraj Toshniwal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congrats on good set of numbers. Sir, I just wanted to understand on the, probably I'm looking wrong, on the ROEV, 18.4%. If I do my calculation based on 6.6 and making the analyzed and on the opening EV, it's giving me 17.4. Is it a little different way of doing it?
We can share the numbers with you separately.
Okay, and wanted to understand also on the Credit Protect business, basically, as we are increasing the share of single premium in the total pie and the unwinding is faster, if I'm not wrong, from the unit link. So where do we see the unwinding rate to be in the overall EV walk, if I can get some color on that? Because it has improved for you. It is at 9.2% currently, and it was something at 8.3 or 8.5% in F18.
So the unwind rate is nothing but the the curve, the risk-free curve that we've used at the start, plus allowing for the expected returns that you earn from equities, they're allowing for credit risk and other realistic returns. It will be broadly similar to what we've seen in the past, making some adjustment for the overall increase in the interest rate that we've seen in the recent past. So it will be roughly similar to what we've seen and allowing for some improvement in the interest rate that we've seen recently.
Okay, but in terms of new business strain, how does that work? It probably gets unwind faster, right? I mean, Credit Protect business.
Oh, you're talking about Credit Protect business here?
Credit Protect business, that's overall impact on the unwinding. So how does that work on the...
Can you repeat the question? I didn't catch your question properly.
So question is basically unwind, the new business strain is kind of, that gets unwind fast in case of Credit Protect business, then in compared to ULIP.
So
in that perspective, I want to understand how the EV book will be growing and the unwinding rate behaving on that.
Talk about the payback period. Is that what you're alluding to?
No, right. I mean, probably that will be a better term.
Yeah, the payback period will be, of course, much shorter in CP business, Credit Protect, than in a UL business. Most of the loans, if you take most of the loans in the market, they'd be personal loans and, vehicle loans and commercial vehicles, etc. Those are all much shorter tenures, maybe 2 years, 3 years. And the longest loan is arguably the home loan and the loan against properties. Those are slightly longer. Even though people take out a 20-year home loan, they usually pay back, settle it in 5-6 years' time. So the overall payback period in the case of a CP product will be, on average, maybe 3 to 4 years. Compared to a UL, where, depending on the persistence experience, it could be 5 to 7 years.
Okay. That is helpful. And on overall, wanted to know what kind of growth rates the high base kicks in for HDFC also. It was probably a little lower base than in Q1. So where do we are seeing the growth, the traction we can grow at? What sustainable growth rate would be? I just wanted to understand.
So yes, we have always said and we maintain the same that we believe we can grow higher than the industry growth rate. Industry has a bit of a tepid growth rate in the first quarter. I'm sure it will pick up. So we believe we can continue to deliver higher than industry growth. It will be very difficult to say anything beyond that at this stage.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of HR Gala from Finvest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations for a great set of numbers. Just wanted to know the assumptions that go for working the new business margin. Are they any materially different than what other private insurers are following?
So if I can answer that, I it's difficult to know what underlying assumptions others are following.
Mm-hmm.
From our point of view, our numbers have been vetted by external actuary, and a report has been published as well in our IPO document. Even thereafter, subsequent to that. So, there might be some nuances in terms of what would be, for example, the long-term expense ratio or, how, in our case, just given, like I mentioned earlier, that last year's embedded value operating profit included an assumption change, and it's a positive uptick for EVOP. Just shows that there was some element of conservatism that was baked in. But otherwise, it's difficult to know. Other metric to look at is the sensitivity analysis, which shows that we're not very sensitive, apart from tax rates, to any of those metrics.
Okay. So assumptions typically... As far as tax rate is concerned, are we following the marginal rate or what is the applicable tax rate?
Well, no, we are following whatever is the current tax regulation.
Current tax rate. Okay. And the last question, you know, somebody asked the question, it was not very clear, this economic variance, 190 crore, what was the reason why it has been caused?
Because of the interest rates increasing. So when interest rates go up, the value of the debt securities fall.
Okay.
So that is the negative impact that we see in the EV variance.
Thank you very much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Narottam Garg from Trust Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. My question is with regard to the digital and online as a channel. You mentioned that it contributed around 7% of the overall individual AP. So if you could provide a bit more color on, you know, where it is coming from specifically in terms of Policy Bazaar, your own website, and any other channel that is there embedded. And also if you could give some color on how it is growing this particular online and digital piece.
Yeah, so we have actually given our channel-wise product mix on slide 20, and there you will see which of the channels are selling a lot more of protection. So is there anything further that you wanted? Because, for example, in direct, you will see the non-par protection having gone up to 24%.
Yeah, no, I'm asking in terms of, let's say, the 7% APE that has been contributed by this channel.
Yeah.
So within that... What is Policy Bazaar? What is your own website? Are there any other channels within that? And what is the growth rate?
No, we're not giving to that level of details. Suffice to say that all the channels are growing. All the sub-channels are growing.
Okay. But it would be majorly Policy Bazaar and your own website?
No, not necessarily. It's a combination of, like I said, all sub-channels are growing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amitabh Chaudhary for closing comments.
Thank you so much. Thanks everyone for being on the call. Thanks everyone for asking all those questions. Again, if you still have some unanswered questions, we'll be very happy to answer them. You can reach out to our investor relations team. As you will see, we have tried to provide more color this time based on all the commentary we're reading from the analyst community, and we'll try to continue to do that as we move forward in the future. Thanks once again, and hope to see all of you sometime soon. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of HDFC Life, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.